Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hola, chicos y chicas. Many thanks for joining me on the Joy of Paddle podcast, spreading and sharing the supreme delight of this wonderful and fast-growing game. I'm your host, Minter Dial, and this podcast is brought to you by Paddle 1969, the largest manufacturer of premium paddle courts. One Court for Life by Paddle 1969. The Joy of Paddle is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. For more information about this network, please go check out their site, evergreenpodcasts.com. So this is the second season for The Joy of Paddle, and as with last season, we'll be running an episode once every fortnight. Please let us know what you think about the show by putting up a rating and a review. So for this sixth episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast, I'm delighted to bring to you the effervescent Nikhil Mahindra. Nikhil's a rising star in the world of paddle and a beacon of inspiration for players across the globe. As a paddle player for Team GB and the newly appointed ambassador for Paddle India, Nikhil shares his unique journey into the sport, his battle with asthma on the court, and his unwavering dedication to training. From his initial indifference to paddle at age 12, to his full-blown love affair with the game at 17, Nikhil's story is a testament to finding one's passion despite the odds. Please enjoy the listen and do share and subscribe to send out more Joy of Paddle to the world. Vamos! Hey, Nikhil Mahindra, great to have you on the Joy of Paddle. I've seen you play. You were a rising star with a lot of activity in the paddle world. In your own worlds, Nikhil, who are you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Minter. It's an absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to this conversation. So my name is Nikhil Mahindra. I'm a British paddle player for Team GB. I've been playing for 7 years, and I'm also recently become an ambassador for Paddle India. Let's get into it.
Congratulations. Yeah, absolutely. It's brilliant. Well, we will discover more of this. So, one of the things that's fascinating is that you're a younger player. And like in Spain, there are so many young players who actually paddle first. So I was interested to know, when you started off in Chigwell, how did you get into paddle? What attracted to you, and then what was the sticking power?
So initially, I never really played tennis. I can't hit a tennis ball. I'm not very talented as a racket sports or an athlete in that fact at all. But I played football, not to a particularly high level, but that was my sport. Always loved playing football, and I was a severe asthmatic. So playing football is, of course, extremely demanding and taxing on the body. So as my asthma developed and got worse, I decided to try and find another sport. And paddle was we had the second courts installed in our club at David Lloyd Chigwell. So I found it there, and I kind of just played it a couple times. Didn't take to it instantly. This was at about 12 years old, so I played it a couple times and then left it for 5 years. I then left school to work for my family business at 16, and then came back to it at 17, and I don't know what happened, but I absolutely fell in love with it, and now I'm playing every single day and training as hard as I can.
Love it. Well, I enjoy the fact that you talk about your health. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and playing with health issues is a thing. So to what extent, because I mean, frankly, when I get into some of the big points, 45 seconds, those 30 shot points, I can get out of breath. So I'm having to imagine that you get moments of getting out of breath as well. I mean, you're a solid player, going to have long points. How does it affect your play?
So Well, actually, for me, it depends a lot on the conditions. So, for example, when I travel on professional tour to, let's say, Lithuania or Sweden or Norway, where it can be a bit on the chilly side, I really get affected, and it impacts my breathing. So I have a routine, I have breathing exercises, I have preventative methods to try and help my breathing throughout the game. But then when I played in the World Championships in Qatar and Dubai, I don't need the inhaler or to worry about my asthma so much, because it's not, my lungs aren't kind of constricting and that. So yeah, it's a lot better in the warmer countries than the colder countries.
Yeah, I can imagine. I did have asthma. It was hay fever related asthma in my youth, so I can relate to the experience of having asthma. Well, good on you for battling through, and of course, taking care of your body and health is so important. All the same, so you got into paddle at Chigwell. You were playing after the age of 17. How do you decide to become a professional player?
So I was working with my family business, which is in the Asian clothing in market, and we were like the leading brand in the United Kingdom, and honestly, it wasn't for me. It was I need to be doing stuff constantly, and for me, I was traveling to India twice a month, which was fantastic. I loved that, but then, kind of looking at clothing, the materials, the composition, I was like, I'm not very academic, and I don't really enjoy sitting at a desk. So I just needed to get my hands in something. And at that stage, paddle wasn't necessarily something anyone knew. When I played, people were like, oh, what is that? It's just what you do on a surfboard or whatever. But now, of course, everyone's like, oh, that's paddle, that's, you're playing with all these guys, and because it's such a trendy sport, and everyone's hopping on it now. And so yeah, so I was lucky enough to invest early in the sport and in myself.
And that moment to decide to go all in, what was that like? Was that a sort of a conversation with your parents?
Yes, absolutely. So it's a bit surreal, because I mean, there's a lot of talking. Yeah, one day I'll start playing properly, and one day. But when it actually happens, it does feel, you feel very different. Like your routine changes. Everything's like, it's like leaving school. Like everything changes. So I left office really. I still work with my father, but in property management. But yeah, it changes a lot. And well, I'm very fortunate that I'm able to do this. My health allows me. What my parents have done that allows me to do this. And so yeah, just trying to give it my all, really.
What is it? What is a day in a professional paddle player from GB look like? And how much are you doing it in the gym? Because we're actually recording it while you're in the gym, versus on the court, watching a video. What does it look like?
For example, in the GB team, I am probably the least athletic in the team. I'm certainly the weakest. I'm not the fastest, so I need to definitely put in the work the most. I'm not talented at all, but so at the moment, I've taken on a new trainer, which I've been working with for about 6 or 7 months, and I've come on leaps and bounds. I've improved a lot. So I normally get up at about 5:15, 5:30, and I'm in the gym by 6 a.m. I train with my trainer from 6 to 7:30 a.m. I then go for breakfast. Eating is something I really struggle to put on weight. That's something that I've had tests for and everything, and I need to eat thousands and thousands of calories just to maintain my weight, which is super difficult. But I finish breakfast around 8:30. I then head to the family office, and I'm there until 12 and 1. It's around 1-ish. Then go for another gym session. Finish that around 3. Train paddle with the Great Britain team and the guys for a couple hours, and then have a match in the evening. So I really like the diversity I have, where I have my family business to break up. It's not all go, go, go. And on the other side, it's not all at the desk. It's also on court and being active.
Well, that's great. And in trying to gain weight, presumably some of that is in muscle, trying to build up your muscles as well.
Absolutely. So not necessarily paddle, as you know, is not a power-based game. It can actually hinder that. I have a lot of friends who've who've gone to the gym and really big, but it actually hinders your performance, lack of movement. I mean, the harder you hit it, not necessarily always. I mean, you've got the wall, so it's not always the best thing to do. So I'm trying to put on weight in the right way. The trainer I have right now, Tom, he's super fantastic in analyzing and recognizing that bench pressing as much as I can won't be beneficial for me. More fast, explosive movements and injury prevention is what we're focusing on at the moment. But yeah, trying to put on a little bit more weight and stay healthy is the main concern.
Yeah, and doing that with healthy food, eating more, but also healthy food, because going to McDonald's is one way of getting weight. Surely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
absolutely.
I wanted to talk to you about your experience in Paddle India, because that was what actually sparked my desire to have you on, Gokhil. So you, Alan Healy, who runs Paddle India, invited you to be part the ambassador for Paddle India. So what is Paddle India, and what does it mean to be the ambassador of Paddle India?
So, Paddle India is a newly formed company by Alan Healy, the CEO. He moved from he's originally from Ireland, and he moved to Mumbai for another type of work. He then came across paddle and worked with closely with the Indian Paddle Federation, and is now taking it by storm. He's got so many projects lined up, and he's really at the forefront of the growth in which is the largest country in the world. So the sky's the limit, and even further than that. I really believe that India will be a powerhouse in paddle. The level of tennis currently, as we speak, the number one doubles player in the world is Indian, Rohan Bopanna, and I think that there is no limit with the amount of people that will play. They've got 70 million racket sports players, which is more than the population of the UK, which is ridiculous. And they're all crazy fanatics about racket sports. They're badminton, table tennis, tennis, squash, and soon to be paddle. So as we speak, there are about 115 courts. Last year, there were 10, and we aim to have 500 by the end of the year. And by the end of the decade, they've said they want about 15,000. So we'll see. We'll see how that
Hey,
goes.
ready to take on Spain? Well, yes. In my past, I have a long history in lawn tennis, and yeah, a lot of the Indians that I know in tennis tend to come from doubles. There's many of them that come to mind are taller. They therefore have big serves, know how to handle the net, and pop balls out of the court. So there does seem to be a lot of great prospects. And I was thinking, just as a little hat tip to Alan, this is actually an Irish shirt. You're wearing green, but of course that's a I'm Irish and orange here, which you can see a little bit of, much like India, by the way, right?
Exactly. Great, great
We're
link there.
color coded. So Paddle India is on the go. This is a movement to develop paddle there with Alan Healy. What does your role as an ambassador look like? What does that mean you're going to do?
So, as an ambassador, I of course have to represent the not only the company but the country as well. So, when I'm visiting and playing sports and tournaments in these other countries, I have to represent them well. So that's a massive responsibility. I also I have to achieve my position of being number one in India. So, as I mentioned previously, I need to win the tournaments out there, which is really important to set a precedent and help develop the sport. I'm very fortunate enough to be coached by some of the best coaches in the world. Currently, my coach is Jordan Munoz. He is ex-champion of the world, been playing with Paquita Navarro, Juan Lebron, and so I train with him out in Alicante. And he's fortunate enough to be coaching the Great Britain team alongside John Leach, another head coach. So I think all of this experience and expertise that I've learned over all the years, I can definitely help share and grow the sport. In India.
Well, a big hat tip to Tom Leach, lovely man. And so you're based in Britain or Alicante? Where do you get your play?
So I've spent the last six to 8 months in Alicante training. A big problem was the visa, so getting the visa was a struggle, but managed to get that sorted, which has now expired. So it's a bit difficult with the traveling. But so now I'm based back in London. I will be traveling back and forth to the Alicante and the UK, whatever my visa allows me to. But for the moment, I'm training in London with a GB team, and with Sandy and Tom, who you know. So yeah,
Mark
it's
Carson.
going well. Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
top guys.
Absolutely. I've had Sandy on my show and I hope to have Tom on soon enough. So what about your game? How do you describe your game? You play on the left, right, Nico?
Correct. My game is probably the least powerful game you'll ever see. I've got no power about me. I think the only thing that helps me or makes me a decent player is that I understand the game of paddle, and I've worked on things that I can improve on. So, of course, as I mentioned, I've been in the gym trying to build some power, but for me, naturally, it doesn't really come. So I'm still working on that. But I am working on a lot of speed, movement, reaction, which is my strengths. So I feel I have to excel in that area to be able to keep my position in the Great Britain team, and climb the world rankings. I play very tactically, not very powerfully. And yeah, that's it really.
Well, that makes for, just to reflect back, an interesting proposition to play on the left.
Absolutely. So I first started playing on the left, and because I always used to play in like socials or with the beginners at my local club, the better player always seemed to go on the left, which is not true at all. But when you're new to paddle, that's kind of what everyone thinks, and it's actually the more tactical player goes on the right. So I think perhaps I would be better poised to play on the right, but I know everyone just wants to play on the left, so until something else happens, I'm going to stay out and stand my ground.
Well, if we ever get a toss play, I will be very happy to play on your right. I think there's a lot of enjoyment and, and differences in both sides. And clearly there is this notion of always want to play on the left. It's sort of almost a masculine, show of strength. Look at me. I got it all going, But so how would you describe yourself as an animal if you had to think of your paddle tennis in animalistic terms?
Probably. Well, we actually do this in the GB team. We give everyone nicknames as animals. So I've been given a bit of a strange one, but the octopus. So
All hands on deck.
exactly. So as a net, I'm quite fast. I'm quite tall, and my reach is quite wide. So I managed to get to all the balls, but also I'm not very threatening when I've got a ball to kill. But I've got some surprises, like the octopus, like maybe some ink or something,
Yeah, that is gorgeous. You're my very first octopus, and I hardly can't imagine I'll get another one. All right, so as you've been developing and obviously trying to find your space and with your mix, your what you come with, what's your favorite shot? Do you have a one that stands out for you?
So my favorite shot is, for me, most likely the Vibra or the Rulo. So, I mean, I don't have a smash, so I need to find a way to be effective with overheads. So I've practiced with these a lot. The Vibra, I've been working countless hours with Jordi Munoz in Alicante, and there's no one better to learn it from the master himself. So he's absolutely fantastic. So trying to get that really effective and being a threat, I think I've improved it a lot. So I'd have to say that shot, because you get a lot of satisfaction when you feel it right.
That's for sure. When you zing it in. A question for you. I mean, I obviously I'm an older man, so I have a very different concepts of what I want to do. But I've been hearing that the bandeja, this famous tray shot, that the English like to say a bandeca, that it's not quite as popular in the Pro Tour these days. I mean, there's Bella who still pushes back his bandeja with comfort. But is it something that you use? Is it something that you're weaning off? Where are we with the bandeja?
So that's a great question. So in the men's game, you very rarely see the bandeca. It's either a Vibra or it's a smash. The bandeca
Or the
is more of
rulo,
a,
or the rulo. You
or the roller.
can.
Yes. or because in the women's game it's a bit of a slower game, so you can play the Van Dekker defensive shot. It keeps you at the net, but if you play the Van Dekker, a lot of the game in the Premier Padel now, it's people approaching the net and being able to block it. So playing the slow Van Dekker doesn't necessarily work in the men's game, and the elite level they play at is absolutely insane to watch. So it's more and more becoming more of a power game. As you said, Juan Martin or Bella, they play the Van Dekker, which is more defensive and slow. But now you see the likes of Tapia, Coelho, LeBron and Galan, they're all powerhouses, absolutely killing the ball. So yeah, the Van Dekker won't work against them.
No doubt. All right. What about a shot you're trying to improve? I was just going to go. Sorry, let me just go back 1 second to the Rulo. The other thing that I played a very handy Portuguese player just recently, and he kind of hit what I would characterize as Rulo, which are sort of the for those who don't understand, it's the shot that basically is high over your head and you're just plonking it from the left into the side netting. That's generally the Rulo. But it's, and I reserve it for when I'm on the, let's say, the last third on the left side of the court. So I got the furthest distance to it to be able to plonk it in. But there are some players that know how to sort of hit it in from even the middle of the court when you're playing on the left. What about you? What's your approach with the Rulo?
The Rulo, for me, is the more angle you have, the more likely you're going to go for it. So the more central you are, the harder, of course, the angle is to get to the cage. So I generally, as a rule of thumb, if it is more towards the middle, I play more of a vibra to the corner or slow to the middle. And if I have more angle, that's when I either try to kick it out for three, which I'm useless at, or hey, go for the rulo.
Yeah, that's me too. What about the shot that you're trying to improve on? Now, what's one of the keenest thing you need to work on?
It's got to be the smash. It's just got to be the explosiveness and the hitting it out the court or bringing it back. That is where I lack the most. And if I manage to get that, my game will improve drastically.
And are you working on a flat smash or really the kick?
But I find it hard to kick the ball because I'm not naturally a tennis player that has that second serve technique. But and I don't necessarily have the flat power for a flat smash. So I think I'm trying more to get the kick because it requires more technique. So I'm practicing that a lot more than the flat.
Yeah, because ultimately, once you have the technique, it doesn't actually require as much power. You just don't need to flick it. You have to hit it high.
Yeah.
And then next time you work on your jump smash. Ha.
No, exactly. Yeah, I'll try that. But also with the kick, I have going back to Sandy and Tom, who were absolutely phenomenal tennis players. They're helping me a lot with that technique. So working on that very, very frequently to try and get that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about on the Pro Tour? Do you watch a lot of the Pro Tour?
Yeah, so I watched a lot of it, and I was actually in Dubai a couple of weeks ago with LeBron and Galan having breakfast with them, so that was pretty cool. And then watching them go and win the Saudi Premier Padel, so that was a pretty cool experience.
¿Pero hablas español con los ellos?
Estoy aprendiendo, pero hablo muy mal. So I'm learning, but yeah, I don't speak very well.
I think Juan speaks the same level of English. As opposed to Ali. Well, that's very cool. So amongst the pro players, who inspires you?
For me, the attitude of Dineno is, I really, really like how he plays. He's people think he's passive. Like if you were to watch him as a non-paddle player, he's so easy. He doesn't do anything. But he actually is probably one of the most effective players on the tour. He's so intelligent. He hasn't necessarily got a killer shot, but the way he plays is the equivalent of Einstein on court. He knows where to put the ball. He knows when to play it hard and when to play it soft. And I think I play like him, but on the left. I wish I played like him, but about 1,000 levels down, I feel like I'm him on the left.
Well, you are in the top 400, so you're much closer than 1,000 in the world. Congratulations for that. Yeah, think about Dineno. He reminds me of a younger Sanjo.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yes. And what about on the women's tour? Do you have any women that you particularly enjoy watching?
So I like to watch Ari Sanchez. I've been lucky and fortunate enough to train with her a few times in Barcelona with her coach Paula. Paula's former champion of the world, and she's absolutely fantastic. She's an amazing person. So training with both of them has been just a super cool experience, and watching her, be world number one and winning all these titles is super cool.
With Jose Maria, Paola. So what about when you choose a partner? How do you go about choosing partners? I think it's one of the trickiest, least spoken about elements of paddle.
Yes, exactly. So I don't necessarily have that the experience of competing at a high level in tennis or such. But what I look for is someone is who's always positive. I think that's the most important. Even if the level isn't there, as soon as your partner, the one person who's on your side, on the court, gets annoyed, that's is not going to work. I mean, I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Galan and LeBron split up, because Galan wasn't fond of LeBron's attitude, I think. But I've been incredibly fortunate to have partners such as Sandy, who I've played with in the World Championships and European Championships. He has such a rich background of competing, and his experience is second to none. So he's really managed to help me develop as a player, and he's taught me a lot on and off the court. So yeah.
That's lovely. What about the communication piece? Where are you in the communications, and how important is that for you in your play?
I think that is probably, if most important, I think on the court more important than your technical and technique aspects, because being able to communicate with your partner and be positive and be on the same wavelength as your partner really allows you to flourish as a partnership and ultimately be successful. But also have the same understanding, being able to tell each other where you want to play the ball, what you're feeling each point, how to understand the opponents. I think it's vital. And yeah, as I said, it's in as important as your level on the court.
Well, you can imagine that I totally agree. That's great. Excuse me. So, what about you've been now playing for, I don't know, 7 years? What's the funniest thing that's happened to you on paddle court or around paddle, but giving you the most joy, perhaps?
Well, I wouldn't say, well, the most enjoyable moment for me ever is putting on that Great Britain t-shirt and representing your country in Centre Stadium at World Championships. But also all the hard work and training gets you such fantastic experience to play with elite athletes outside of paddle who are the best in their sport. So being fortunate enough to play with World Cup winner Jos Buttler, who I've partnered a few times.
The
He's an
cricketer.
absolute, exactly. He's a fantastic athlete and honestly the nicest guy. He's just so down to earth, and what he has achieved is amazing. I've also been playing a lot with one of the best footballers of all time, John Terry. He's a fantastic, of course, athlete and a super lovely and humble guy. And to be able to play with someone who's achieved so much, him and Josh, is a bit surreal. Yeah, so perks like this is yeah, it makes you think how fortunate you are to play the sport.
If I'm not mistaken, Terry was also captain of the British or the English football team.
Absolutely, yeah. Champions League winner, captain at World Cups, Premier League winner. I mean, I don't think there's any. He's one of the greatest defenders and footballers of all time. So yeah.
And in the realm or the concept of paddle, that defensive posture is not unhelpful either, presumably.
No, exactly. And well, the same actually goes for Josh. He's a wicket keeper,
Right.
and he's one of the best batsmen in the game of cricket. So both of them have attributes that really, really work well with paddle. Their reactions, their strong body posture and positioning really helps them. So yeah, fortunate to play with them.
Yeah, something else that doesn't really come up a lot, but footwork.
Yeah.
As much as we're talking about paddle and everything above the
Yeah,
waist,
yeah.
that stuff down below.
It's just as important. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you're not in the right position and if you don't know how to move, then you might as well not have a paddle in your hand. But being able to move and understanding how to move. Like, for example, when I play against people who are much more athletic than me, who have never played paddle, who are like gym goers or really fit, run marathons, they'd come to play paddle. And they'd be sweating so much more than I am just because they don't know how to move yet, or their footwork isn't up to speed with what they know, what they should do. But I'm sure the same would be marathon. I wouldn't be able to keep up with them if we did it. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd get tired before the start line of a marathon. let's say you've been playing paddle for 7 years. What's a lesson that paddle has brought to you in life off the court?
A lesson that paddle has brought to me off of the court would definitely be to slow everything down. I know it sounds a bit weird, but a lot of the time in sports, everything's like rushing. But actually, take a step back, enjoy it, breathe, and enjoy the small things in life. Because I've had a lot of things on the family side go on. So paddle helps me a lot in that aspect, where it's not rush, relax, understand the point, understand what you've done, take your time and get ready to go again.
I love that. That sounds like a very wise lesson. And it's true that we live in this sort of hyper connected world and all the messaging and social media and everything and the pace with which everything's going. The idea of taking a breath, relaxing, slowing down, taking perspective, and being present.
Absolutely. So I've one thing I've really struggled with is the mental aspect of my sport. I tend to get really nervous and I tend to worry a lot. So I've had a lot of coaching. I've had a lot of help from some of the world's best. And being present in the moment, as you just mentioned, is the most important thing. If you're not there, if you're not present, you might as well be at home in your bed sleeping. Mm. So working on really focusing. And I think one person, probably the best in the world at that, is the greatest tennis player of all time, Novak Djokovic. He goes on about how that is more important than the gym work. Just the mind, working your mind and being present, understanding why you're here and focusing. Not necessarily blocking out all of these thousands of thoughts that are coming in, but let them come in and kind of like a file, organize them in your head so you're ready to go. So he's someone that obviously helps millions of people in what they do.
And I've seen him on a paddle court, Djokovic. Yes. I got to meet him at Queen's Club once. So you're now the ambassador for Paddle India. When's your tournament? Do you have one lined up for you? What's the future of paddle for you looking like, Nikhil?
So I'm very fortunate. I think I have a few avenues to go down at the moment. So I have a tournament on the 20th of May in Hyderabad in southeast of India, which will be super cool. I've never been there. Hopefully I can get my first Indian ranking points. But the future of paddle, I feel I have, well, as you know, paddle, you can play to quite a late age. And in the professional circuit, I feel the prime is around 26 to 30 or 28 to 32. So you really have a good window of experience and physicality that you can grow into. But I also have a lot going on the development side of paddle within the UK as well as India. So I've just formed this company called R3 alongside my business partner. Yes, R3, alongside my business partner, Jonathan Rowland, where we'll be looking to develop and help the growth. So at the moment, we manage more than half of the Great Britain paddle team with the license to the largest and best brand in paddle, which is Ball Paddle. So we helped grow that market here. We look to do many more big things here in the UK as we really want to support all the players and give them more opportunities.
Well, that's exciting. And of course, exactly. I know Jonathan. So hopefully when that goes down, when there's more development, we'll have another focus on that project. And what about the future of paddle in India? How do you describe that? I mean, where you talked about the number of courts that are coming up. Where is the hub of paddle going to be in India, do you think?
So for now, I think the hub is in Bangalore. They have many courts coming. Alan's doing a fantastic job. He's really building it up there. So the hub, I would say, for now, will be in Bangalore. But then you have all these superstars. I mean, when you're a superstar in India, it's like no other. You have Instagram followers of 200-300 million. You have superstars on every corner. It's absolutely crazy. And when someone in India picks up a paddle racket who's famous, everyone will follow. I mean, you've got some superstars playing now. Everyone starts to get to know what it is. And the investors and private funds are investing heavily now. So it's I think if there is a country within 15 years that will be up there, it's most definitely India. As I mentioned before, they have the expertise of all the racket sports of tennis, squash, table tennis, badminton. So, and of course, just the sheer number of players they have is ridiculous. And they have access to a lot of things. So yeah, it can be definitely up there.
And in terms of the development of courts, the planning and permissions aren't quite as complicated as they are in Blighty.
No, so you just pick a land and you just go build a court there. Really? So I've been trying to develop a few paddle courts here in England, and oh my gosh, it takes maybe 1, 2, 3 years, planning permissions, surveys, snail surveys. If there's a snail here, you can't build there. Worms. It's extremely tough. But in India, it's a lot more lenient. Hopefully that will allow the growth to happen exponentially and won't stunt the growth.
I have to imagine Indian climate being what it is, covered is better.
So it's obviously quite heavily polluted there as well. It's quite dusty. So having it covered, I think, is essential with the heat. I was there last week, it was 35 degrees and it's not even summertime yet. So it is super
much
hot. Yeah. So, but then you also have the contrast of the monsoon season, which absolutely is crazy. But yeah, I think you're definitely correct in saying canopy is the best way forward. But also, like when I went to Japan, they're unfortunate for them. They actually can't. I hope I'm correct here, but I was speaking to some of the guys at the Federation. They can't build over a certain height because they're on a tectonic plate because of earthquakes. So that's a real pain for them. It's super hot there. So I don't know the way around that. But yes, in India, the canopies would be the best way.
For sure. And in England, eh? Listen, Mikkel, been great to have you on my show. I need any last words. And how can people follow you? I mean, hopefully a bunch of Indians are going to say, hey, this is my dude.
You can follow me on Instagram. It's just my name, Nikhil.Mohindra. Same on LinkedIn, and it'd be really cool to follow my journey and see how we can grow paddle not only in India and the UK but worldwide.
Well, I would love to get a chance to play in India. I think I've hit 20 countries in which I've played so far, and also even get a chance to be on a court with you, Nikhil. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on my show. Wish you fabulous luck. Keep at it and bomb us for the joy of paddle.
So I hope you've enjoyed this Joy of Paddle episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to be the first in queue for the next episode. And if you like what you hear, please do share around with other paddle aficionados. This is a sport that deserves to be played by absolutely everyone. And if you've got a story that you'd like to share, please send me an email, or better yet, a voice note at nminterdial@gmail.com. With that, thanks for listening. And see you on the next episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast. Vamos!
Women's Running Stories, where we explore the intersection between running and life. Because every woman who is committed to a running journey has a story to tell, and this is where you'll find those stories. I am host and producer Cherie Louise Turner. I'm a 53-year-old runner, and together with original music by musician and runner Cormac O'Regan, we bring these inspirational stories to life. Please join us to fuel your adventures.